Father God, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. I praise you, Lord, that you didn't leave us here to flounder around without tools, without the word of God, without your spirit, without the avenue of prayer, and Lord, the disciplines that we can have in our lives to be good stewards. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that we would embrace with both of our hands today the great foundation of fellowship. Teach us, Lord, what that really looks like, what that really means. And Lord God, take away all the distractions. Take me out of the picture. I pray your spirit would just speak loudly in ways that we all need to hear individually. And I pray it in Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to jump into this idea of the foundation of fellowship. And here's the thought, by the way, at church, let me ask this question. Do you hear that word fellowship much outside of church? It's kind of like a secret code, you know, secret handshake, secret fellowship. What is it? What's that all about? Yeah, we hear about it. My son-in-law, he's a physician, and he's going to do a fellowship year. That's the only time I really hear about that, and that's when he goes to another place to get more training and become board certified. So that's the only time I've really heard much about fellowship. But here's what we're going to think about today, and I call it the blurb. That's what we put out on the YouTube. And it says, we talk about fellowship dinners at church, right? And let me say this to you guys. Fellowship is more than sweet potato pie. Fellowship is more than crown fried chicken, guy. Fellowship is more than those things. It's more than that, right? So what's the big deal about fellowship? And let's just listen in to God's word, and let's figure that out this morning, because fellowship is really a key building block for our strength. So we're going to cut right on down to our eternal truth. And what I want to get a hold of this morning is this. You know, God's created us to be in Christ Jesus, to be creatures with purpose and promise, and we're new. And he wants to do something special. We're reconciled to be God, and we become ministers of his reconciliation, ambassadors of Christ to build his kingdom right here. And this idea of fellowship, and the Greek word, we learn two words in Greek today. They're just kind of fun to know, and it helps to understand. The Greek language, by the way, is really precise many times, and it really fleshes out what is this thing. So we're going to learn about koinonia, and the idea, it's a foundational resource for our spiritual growth and health. Everybody get this in your mind. Fellowship is important for your spiritual health. Lone Ranger Christians don't do well. Christians who are united to the body have strength and power and encouragement and viewpoints that are different from their own so they can change and grow. And that's what the Lord wants to teach us today. Fellowship is this interactive relationship. It's between the Lord first and then believers who are generously sharing new life in Christ. And by the way, if you get tired today, write down this word. Fellowship is sharing your new life in Christ with each other. The good stuff, the bad stuff, your gifts, your talents, your resources, it's all those things. And it results in love, unity, service, encouragement, growth, and finally joy. And that's what we need. But I don't know about you. The world is crazy. Life is difficult. We need each other in the power of God. We need each other. And that's what we're going to look at today. So, by the way, when we think of fellowship, isn't that what we think about? That's it right there, right? So let's understand what is it. Let's define what fellowship is, and let's look at what the Bible, how it describes it. So I want to dive right on into that this morning. And I want to give you guys the definition. Jot this down. This is the word in Greek, koinonia. And by the way, this word, kind of in its simple form, it has the idea of what is common. What do we have in common? Everybody tell me, what do we have in common, church? Christ, right? It transcends everything. We have lots of stuff that we don't have in common, but Jesus is the center that keeps us unique and common together. And get this idea. Here's what fellowship's all about. It's about sharing and participating in common. It's about me and you sharing our lives with each other. You know, it has this idea of communion, you know, where we are like, we have this sort of real intimate relationship with each other because God's our Father and Jesus Christ is the one that saved us. His Holy Spirit indwells us. He's given us new life. And the idea is we come together in community, in unity, in our faith, our love, and encouragement. And get this picture, right? This might be uncomfortable. It involves close association. And everybody look up for a sec. You know what that means? It means it's kind of dirty sometimes. When you're close to people, you're close when the going's not going so good. And you're close when it's the time to celebrate. But it's kind of ugly sometimes, and it's beautiful other times. But it just testifies our commitment and our communion and our relationship with each other through Jesus Christ. And that's really a key thing. And kind of like in a way we might think of it today, it's about sharing new life in Christ together. I had this video series years ago. It said, doing life together. That's kind of the idea. We're going through life together. I'll throw this out. If we're on the same team, who better than to go through life together with? Doesn't it make sense? We know who's the Lord. We know his power. We know his strength. We know what he wants us to do, what's right. We know what the word of God says. We need each other to sort of be there for us, to cheer us on, to be that teammate when there seems like there's no one else there. That's what we need. You know, we are literally the hands and feet of Jesus with each other. And it involves this idea of committing and continuing. And I want to take a passage of scripture this morning. The book of Acts chapter 2. And write this down. I said turn to Romans. We'll get there in a second. Turn to Acts first. By the way, Romans chapter 12. What a great passage on how the body of Christ, us guys, ought to function. Acts chapter 2 is an equally great passage that teaches us about this thing called fellowship and the unity that we have together in Jesus Christ. And it begins with this. By the way, can you imagine this time? The Holy Spirit has come upon the church for the first time. And people are coming to Jesus in droves. Thousands at one time. It's unbelievable. And it says, in many other words, this is Peter, he testified and he exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Just imagine for a second the good and the bad things that would happen if we suddenly added 3,000 people to First Baptist Church. One, it would be amazing. Some of you guys would lose your seat. Right? And we know that's troublesome, right? You know, I don't know if Terry, you took anybody's seat today, but I hope they're not that mad. You know, but think about it. It would cause a lot of stuff. And people would come in. By the way, they come in, they have all their baggage. Some of the remnants of their sin would be there still. You know, maybe they do certain things, certain habits that you don't like, but all of a sudden, they're your brother in Christ. And you get the good, the bad, and the ugly all at the same time. You know, they're in the body. And check out what happens in Luke 42. Get this idea of the body life of fellowship. What's going on? It says, and here's that word, by the way, continued. And they continued steadfastly. Another translation says this. They were devoted to each other. And I want to share that picture. You'll see it this afternoon. You see it in sports a lot. Somebody scores a goal. They are hugging each other. You know, it's like there's no inhibition. There's no nothing. That's what it means to be part of the same team. They're continuing. It says steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So they're saying they want to be taught. There's a thirst to know what God says. There's a thirst to see their lives change to be like Jesus. And it says they continue in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. And then it kind of defines a little bit what that is. It says, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Sort of the core values or the core building blocks of fellowship are, you know what fellowship looks like? We study the word because we want that transformation of the word to happen in our lives. When we come together, we do that part. And then not only do we that, but we break bread together. And by the way, that can allude to we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We remember who we are in Christ. Or it could even be we break bread just to share a meal together. We pray together for each other. And I'm going to throw this out. Write this one down in case we forget. We're going to talk about one anothering in a minute. One of the greatest things we all need to do if we're going to one another each other is we got to know each other. This is not just surface like, yeah, I know that guy. And by the way, this happens at church, doesn't it? We're like, so-and-so was in church today, and he's saying, I'm not quite sure I know who he is. And we begin to describe, what does he look like? Right? That's okay, but we got to get beyond, he's that guy who sits in row 7. We got to get beyond that. We got to say, oh, I know him. He's a great brother. I know his wife. I know his kids. I know where he works. I know his issues. I know his challenges. I know his struggles. I know the great things that he's doing for God. We got to know each other that way. And if we look at the early church, that's who they were. And look what it says. He continues on and says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And it says, now all who believed, get this in your mind, folks, they were what? Read it out loud. All who believed were what? Together. And they were together in, we are here to build the kingdom. We are here to present Jesus as the hope of the world. That's why we're here. And they were together in that fact. And he said, and they had all their things in common. In other words, if there were needs, they said, you know what? I got extra. I'll give you mine. Sometimes, by the way, they said, I don't got extra, but I'll still give you mine. When we read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, that's what they did. Pastor Ansley referenced that last week. And he says, now all believed they were together. They had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. And I want to throw this out. Think about that for a second. When you start giving up your stuff for a brother or sister, that makes us family, doesn't it? By the way, sometimes we're holding on to it. Don't take too much. Right? But that means we are really one. We are really close. You really matter to me when I give up what I like. Right? That's kind of the idea that he's trying to communicate to us in this passage, right? And then he says, look again, look at verse 46. It says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with what? Gladness. And get this idea in your mind. It says, and simplicity of heart. You know what the idea there is? They have a single mindset. They got a single goal. And the goal is, you know what? I am going to be a disciple of Christ, and I am going to glorify God, and I am going to minister to my brothers and my sisters to the glory of God. And we're going to reach this world. We're going to build God's kingdom. He goes on, he says, praising God and having favor with all the people. Isn't that a great place? By the way, wouldn't it be cool if Acts 2 was written about Willingboro, New Jersey? And let me say this, you know what? It can be. It can be. God can do that here. By the way, let me say this. God is doing that here. God is doing that here. I sent a thank you text to everybody who was involved yesterday, and someone texted back, and they said, Miss Barbara's family. It was Eunice, by the way. I'm picking on you, right? It was Eunice. And then name again. That's why we do what we do, because I can name any one of your names and say, you know what? They're family. And we go to the mat for family. We give for family. We do what has to be done for family because we love them and they are part of God's family. That's what he's talking about. That's what fellowship's all about. And Acts just portrays that so very well. And by the way, when the world sees that, look at that last verse. It says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The world ain't never seen that. They just see everyone doing their own things for themselves. And when they see the body of Christ working in the power of the Holy Spirit, transformed by his word, it is unbelievable. And they want some of that. Right? They want some of that. because it's not available too many other places. It's actually not available anywhere. And I want you guys to, this other passage is good, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, by the way, the passage that Pastor Anser used last week and references, you get this idea. Remember fellowship? Get this word in your mind. Fellowship is sharing, sharing, sharing. Look what it says here. It says, for the administration of this service, and he was talking about, they were taking up an offering for the saints at Jerusalem from this poor church that was in Greece. He says, the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saint, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. And I'll throw this out. You know what? When we share with each other, it makes the recipient of what's shared thankful to God. Remember Pastor Anser's illustration about the atheist last week? That's exactly what it is. The lady, right? She got the stuff on the porch, the groceries, and she's what? Praise God. The atheist is saying, no, praise me. She's like, no. God got it from you. You know, no, right? And here's the point. It says, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ. And look what it says. And for your liberal sharing. Fellowship, right? What's fellowship? Sharing. We're sharing life. We're sharing our stuff. We're sharing our heart with each other. That's what he's trying to get across. And what a praise to God that is. We're going to move forward. So we got the idea, right? What's fellowship? Greek word koinonia. What's it all about? Sharing, participating, being involved, knowing each other, being involved in the lives of people, close communion, all those things. I'll give you a second to jot it down if you didn't. By the way, this is kind of right out of a lexicon with just a little few enhancements to it. So there it is, right? 1 John. And 1 John, by the way, talks all about fellowship. Again, we kind of get this idea. And by the way, the fellowship that we have with each other is based on our fellowship that we have with the Lord himself. We can't be a great team without the Lord. We can't play the game without him, without his spirit. It's not going to work. And John wrote this in his epistle. He said, he talks about this idea of relationship again. And he says, that which we have from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested and we have seen. He's talking about these are the disciples. They spent this time with Jesus. They touched him. They laid with him. They did things together. They talked about life. That fellowship that they have with the Lord is the basis of the fellowship that they want to have with each other. And notice he says this. He says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you. Everybody look up. Get this in your mind. This idea of fellowship. You know why it's there? Because God wants your joy to be full. We've kind of gone through a season that's almost felt joyless, humanly speaking. God wants your joy full. Your part of the body, your piece of fellowship is going to bring that to you. It's going to bring that over to you. And notice how our relationship with the Lord is such the foundation. He says, if we say that we fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light of God's transformed word by his spirit and apply it, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. So if we got our vertical relationship right with God, we can relate with each other in a way that we never could before. That's fellowship, right? And I'm just going to slide on down past that. We see fellowship, we defined it, we kind of describe what it looks like. Now we're going to go down and say, how do we practice that? What are some simple ways that I could practice that kind of fellowship? And Sarah, I would tell them, but I can't advance the slide. There it goes. Sometimes the clicker is disobedient, or the operator is just messed up. So it says, practicing fellowship. So the second Greek word we look at is this word, allelon. right? Say, you can impress your friends in trivial pursuit, right? Aleinon. Here's what it means: one another. How do we practice fellowship? We follow the one another commands that God has given us. Is anybody hungry? Be honest. We're in church. It's okay. Amen. All right. All right. By the way, we do have some leftover hoagies in the back for our Awana adults. If anybody who's really hungry, you can get some after the message is done. Okay? So we're going to talk about practicing fellowship. We're going to look at the word, aleilon, the way and the fruit. Okay? So, and there's a reason I said, are you hungry? Because there are 59 one another commands. And we're going to go through them one by one. I'm only kidding. You know we're not going to do that, right? All right. So here it goes. The word aleilon, right? Has the idea of each other, one another, and this idea of a mutuality. We do this together, right? We're one anothering each other. And when I come to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, right, is all about the body life of church, how it ought to work. How every piece of God's creation in the church, every human being is a part of the picture. Everybody look up. I'll say this in a minute. I was going to say, I bet that all you guys, on this whole crowd here today, some of people here say, well, I'm not that important to church. But the answer is no, you are vital. You might say, well, I only clean up. Praise God. You know, I only do this. I only do that. Or, you know, I only come. Or, you know, I have a real challenge. I have some physical issues. I can only pray. Praise God. Because that's what moves things, right? You know, and we have this idea about the body life. It's only for the important jobs. It's only people with the important gifts. And this passage says, nope, that's not true. And here's the foundation. Get this in your minds. Paul says these words. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Paul says, you know, I beg you. This is how it ought to be. I beg you. And he says, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So here's the starting place. Here's what God says. God says, you know what? Brothers and sisters in Christ, present yourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord. And the only way you can do that is to present yourselves as a living sacrifice to each other. That's how it tangibly plays out. And he says, by the way, that's our reasonable service. Jesus gave his very life for you. He left the amazing heaven to come to the awful earth to save us. So the least we can do is give up ourselves for each other and for the body. And that's reasonable. And he goes into this idea, and look what he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. We got to come to this. Now, everybody look up for a second. Let's get this in our mind about fellowship. Nobody deserves it. Nobody deserves your money. Nobody deserves your time. Right? If that's our framework, they ought to have done it themselves. You know what? They got to get with it. We're never going to fellowship at the level that God wants us to fellowship at. We got to say, you know what? I'm going to give everything to this relationship that God's given me, a fellowship. And it doesn't matter if they deserve it or they don't. Because, by the way, none of us do. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. None of us deserve Jesus to come and save us. So our minds got to be transformed, right? Amen to that? Because our mind, untransformed, says, they should just get with it. What's wrong with them? And by the way, most people don't get with it. If they haven't got with it after all these years, they're not going to get with it, and someone gets with them and helps them get with it. Right? That's how it really works, right? And God says, I want you to be the people of God to help the body of Christ really grow and get with it and get on task and get on the program what God wants us to do. And he continues on. Look what he says next. being part of the body of Christ takes humility. And look what he says, for I say through the grace given to me that everyone who is among you, the Bible didn't leave anybody out, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And here's what he's talking about. Maybe you are really talented, really knowledgeable, really skilled. Maybe you have some gifts of the Spirit of God that, like, everyone goes, man, this guy, he's an amazing teacher. He's amazing this and amazing that. What God's saying is, you know what? Remember where that came from. It came from God. Amen. Right? He gave it to you, and he gave it to you to build the body of Christ, not just to get good accolades from everyone else. He gave it to you with a purpose, right? Yes. To be his church. He gave it to you for that reason. And he says, I want you to be humble about who you are. And we're not going to look down on anyone or look up on others. We're just going to, because by the way, I always say this, right? We are all at this level, right? Yes. We're all here. We're all here. We're all at the same level. The foot of the cross is the same level. Yes. And that's how we got here, right? Yes. That's where we are. And he wants us to understand. So let's be humble. And then he says this. He says, and by the way, get your arms around verse 5. This is sort of the key thing for us to get hold of today. He says, for we being many, praise God, we weren't many about a year ago. But praise God, we are many. Amen. But praise God, we are one. Amen. We are one. One in Christ, right? We are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. You know what that means? That means if you hurt, I hurt. If you're rejoicing, I rejoice. If you're weeping, I'm weeping. Right? What hurts you hurts me. Right? That's what he's talking about. We're one. And by the way, if First Baptist is hurting in any way, we all hurting. That's what he wants to get across to us. That's who we are. And he says, we being many are one body in Christ, individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to each of us, use them. And by everybody, look up. You may feel giftless today. You're not. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have one or more spiritual gifts for the purpose of building the body of Christ. And whether you come once in a while or you come every week, you are critical to the body of Christ, to its growth, to its ability to be sustained. You are critical to that. Amen. There's no, like, extras. You know, there's, like, you know, if our team fields 11, you're not number 12, right? You know, in basketball, you know, you're not the sixth man. We're all part of the body. We all on the field at the same time. Yes. You know, Christianity has this idea, it's a spectator sport. You're all watching me do crazy stuff on the platform, right? No, we're all playing the game. This is the huddle. We're getting it together now, and we're going to go out and be the church. Amen. And we all got to run our play correct. That's what God wants us to do, right? And he says that. He said, let's use these gifts. And he goes into each one. He lists them out. If you prophesy, we used to talk about that in ladies' class, and the idea of prophesying is either foretelling the word of God, explaining it, applying it to life today. You know, and many in the past have had the ability to prophesy and predict the future, Jesus being the best, right? He says, if you do that, if you bring the word of God to people's lives and change them, you do that. And he goes into every other gift and says the same thing. Use those things. And I want to move down to the next slide there, Sarah, if you would. And then notice what he says next. By the way, here's the foundation of everything that we're going to do in the body of Christ. Love. And he says, let love be what? Read it for me. Without hypocrisy. So, you know, it's not just something that we say. It has to play out. Like, love is an action word. Right? I love tangibly. I give. I sacrifice. That's the love he's talking about here, right? He said, don't love like a hypocrite. And he goes on, he says, abhor what's evil, cling to what's good. And he talks about how to love. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Care about each other. Listen to one another. know one another so that we can function as the body of Christ. Don't give people what they don't need. Give them what they do. And you do that by knowing them better, right? And then I'm just going to, by the way, notice me in that. Remember that idea? Help me come back. Fellowship is all about what? Sharing, right? Here we go. That was in Acts. Now we're, and by the way, Acts was written by who? Luke. Romans is written by Paul. And guess what? They're saying the same thing because it's by the same Spirit. And look what he says. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Didn't I hear that before? And then he goes on. He says, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Yeah, it's all about sharing. We're sharing. We're gifted and we're sharing. And then notice, look at verse 14. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. And this is a big one. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Humility, right? What a foundation this. Everybody look up for a sec. You know what? We're never going to change in life by the power of God and by his word if we don't humble ourselves and realize we're wrong. And by the way, that's me talking to me too. I love to be right. I'll fight you to say I'm right, and so will you. But often I'm wrong, and the word of God just zeroes in, and it just cuts aside and shows my motivation that it's wrong. Right? So we got to be able to do that, right? So that is body life and fellowship, right? So let's talk about how we're going to apply it. And by the way, y'all got your hand out, right? So here's fellowship. This is a fellowship in action. That was fellowship explained. This is fellowship in action now. Anybody need a handout? Here comes Jonathan. He was just waiting to give you your handout. Here goes. So we're going to multitask while you get your handouts. Pay attention. Just stick your hand out when John goes by, okay? Here goes real fast, right? The way of one anothering. Everybody look up. How many one anothers are in Scripture? 59. I can barely remember a phone number, especially now because they're all on my cell phone and they just have your name next to it. I can't control 59 things. So we can kind of categorize these a little bit. Here's four categories I think that make sense. By the way, the Lord has called us to one another, each other. The four categories are this. We are called to love one another. We are called to be in unity with one another. By the way, that category has the most things. And just by the way, if you guys count your paper and go, Pastor Gary, when you see me at the door today, don't come to me and say there's only 36. We kind of grouped them together some, right? And they're not all there, so you can dig further. I know they're not all there. It's okay. But love one another. Be united with one another. Be humble and serve one another. And encourage and help one another grow. The Bible uses this phrase. Build one another up. Build them up, right? So I want to share with you guys, we're going to look real quick at these. Just think for a second, this kind of whets your appetite. By the way, your homework is, you're probably saying, how in the world do I apply this message? Well, you know what? This week, think through these things and say, how can I love blank in the congregation? And by the way, the idea of loving one another, the Lord knows that we're kind of thick-headed. He says it 16 times. It sounds like, by the way, doesn't God sound like our parent? I told you, and I told you, and I told you. And, you know, we still get it wrong, right? So he let us know 16 times that we need to love one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, he says, be devoted to one another. And you know, that has the idea is that I'm not going to do what I want to do because I am devoted to you and you need my fellowship. Right? He says, oh, by the way, this one's kind of fun. Greet one another with a holy kiss and a kiss of love. So we're going to practice that right after church today. Now, Next week there are 6 people in church. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you know what? He's saying, love each other and show them your love. Show them your love. In our couple, if we were in France, you know, they do that double kiss, that, you know, cheek to cheek. In America, we're kind of stiff, man. We don't do that stuff, right? But in a serious way, First Baptist Church, we're like a hugging church, right? We do a lot of hugging. We were even trying to hug when COVID was going on. We're doing all this crazy stuff, right? We're elbowing and bumping. You know, we're doing all those things. But he says, show one another you love each other and that you're part of the body and you care. Show it, right? By the way, it's kind of funny. When I meet other people outside of church, like, I'm like always ready to shake their hand, you know, hey, brother. It doesn't really work out there. You know, you have certain places and people are like, you know, it's like, you know, they barely give you your hand. So it's like kind of weird. But in the body, show them you love them, right? Greet them with a holy kiss. And he says, make your love increase and overflow. So like think about, how can my love increase? How can I show more love to others, right? Let it be overflowing. And he actually says this great. He says, love each other deeply. Not that surface, yeah, I love you. I love you, sister. But show them. Show them you love them. And by the way, everybody look up. The only way you can do that is, I said this earlier, remember us? We got to know each other. We got to know each other's names, kind of know each other's lives. And I recognize, by the way, there's probably about 175 or so of us here. It's going to be hard to know everybody intimately. Really try to get to know the people that you see all the time. Get to know more deeply, right? Next thing, real quick, right? Unity with one another. Check it out, right? He says, live in harmony with each other. Be at peace with each other. Don't judge each other. Be of the same attitude. Accept one another. And you hear it in church. I don't like that guy. I don't care. Love him. Right? Love him, right? Don't deprive one another. Husbands and wives, that's a challenging one. We'll deal with that coming up in marriage. Wait for one another. At the communion table, don't be selfish. You know, by the way, a couple weeks ago, and by the way, we're good for communion next week. Don't worry. A few weeks ago, we literally had 4 communion cups left over. Carol was praising God because she orders it, right? But, you know, this issue they talked about in 1 Corinthians 11, people were like, give me that bread, give me that cup. They weren't waiting for each other. It was all about me, not about us. He says, it wants to be about us, right? And he says, don't provoke other than to good works and love. Don't provoke each other, don't envy each other, and don't devour each other. You know, in the church, you know, we try to make ourselves better by making other people worse. That's not fellowship. That's terrible fellowship, right? Forgive one another. Everybody look up. This is so important. I guarantee you, I may have already done it today. If I have offended you, I am really sorry. It was never my intention. Please forgive me. And you know what? The longer you stand around here, I guarantee you, someone will step on your toe or kick you in your knee. Or worse. Forgive them. They didn't mean to. Right? We got to be people of forgiveness. We're all a mess. We all need forgiveness. If you stay around here long, you're going to have some scars, but you'll be alive. And the body will be flourishing. Right? That's the idea. Right? Forgive each other. Confess your sins to each other. That seems scary. But again, that's that kind of openness with each other where we're, you know what? I'm really struggling in this area. Would you pray for me? Would you help me? That's what we need to be. That's the kind of thing we are. And by the way, we can only do that if we have humility, right? If we think we're all that, nothing changes. Nothing changes, right? So we got unity with each other. We're moving on down real quick. Humility and service. And by the way, the first command is, again, out of the box. Wash one another's feet. We don't practice that as an ordinance in our church. But again, what does that say? Be humble to serve at every level, right? Honor one another, and that's not a mistake, greater than yourself. That really is humility. Carry each other's burdens. The Bible says that there's burdens that we need to carry, but when you see me tipping, come help. That's the idea. Carry each other's burdens, right? Submit to one another. Everybody can't be boss. By the way, sometimes they call this, during the pandemic, they said a lot of leaders have decision fatigue. Like, you don't want to make any more decisions. Should we do this? Should we do that? It's like, But we have to submit ourselves to the leaders. If you head up Awana, you're the leader. The rest of us, we're going to get behind, and we're going to pray for you, try to make decisions together, and move in one direction for God, right? That's the idea. Offer hospitality. And I love this last one. Wear humility. Put it on. Don't just talk about it, right? Put it on. And you guys can look at all these scriptures. We'll never be able to do that here. And then here's the last one. And this one, by the way, this is kind of my personality, but instruct one another. Encourage each other to grow. Encourage each other. Speak to one another. And by the way, that means let's get beyond that. Let's talk about what's going on in life. Teach one another. And by the grace of God, if we walk out of here with one thing today, let's encourage one another. Encourage one another. And the last one, so critical too, pray for one another. Pray for each other, right? That's where God wants us to be at. So the way of one anothering, right? That's how we fellowship. Let's one another each other. And here's the deal. Everybody look up real quick. You got the little cheat sheet. Think about from that cheat sheet some of the people in your sphere at church. Give them a little love. Humble yourself where you need to. Encourage their heart. Teach them. Do all those things. Help to unify. By the way, you guys, everybody look up. You know, people sometimes don't feel like they're part of who we are. They're kind of feeling like the outside in. Sometimes they put themselves there. Sometimes maybe we've done that to them too. We've sinned against them. Help to draw them in. If there's somebody that you see, and by the way, I can't see everybody. You know, people change seats. People do different things. If you see somebody we haven't seen for a while, let them know, man, we're so glad you're here. Can I help you? Do you need anything? You know, we missed you. We care about you, right? But we got to practice the way of one another. So the word, the way, and the fruit, by the way, is what? What's that lasting fruit we read about in 1 John? Full joy. Where do I sign up, right? That's something we all need, right? How do we embrace this personally? And we're done. Everybody look up. How do we embrace this personally? We got to start somewhere, right? Where do we start? I encourage you guys today. By the way, raise your hand for a second. If you're in our congregation today, and I want you to just take a look around real fast. Look around. It's okay. Everyone's real uncomfortable. Oh, I can't turn around in church. It's okay. Not everything's going to be okay. Turn around. Here's the question. Did you see anybody that you don't know? So here's your job. And I'm serious about this, right? This is dead serious. Yeah, I say a lot of fun things up here, but I'm dead serious about this one. If you saw someone you don't know, your job today is go to one person. Tell them who you are. Ask them who they are. And let them know that you are so thankful that they're part of the body of Christ. And I see some of you guys are going, you're going to the friend you know like your brother. That doesn't count. It was actually Cindy and Eunice, like their sisters. That doesn't count. Right? So you're going to have to find somebody you don't know and greet them today. And in a serious way, try to greet them when you come back next week. Say, I met you last week. Hey, it's cool. Right? Get the idea. We got to know them, right? And then take that paper. This is where we go. This is where we go from there. Take that paper. You know, maybe it's in your mind now. But say, how can I love? How can I humble myself to be more usable by God? How can I encourage people to be part of the body and to be part of building God's kingdom here? Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, we love you. Thank you so much, Lord, for your challenging word. Change us, Lord, by your spirit. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.